Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Good to be in the house of God. Hallelujah. Look at that. We grew. We grew since the last time I got up here, which means just like I said last night, some of y'all came in late. Okay. Had to say it. All right. You missed it. We had the most amazing first 5 minutes that you're going to miss. I'm sorry. You missed it. Hallelujah. Well, welcome again, church family. I pray that you are well, and even if you're not well, I'm glad that you're here. Now, I don't want to point somebody out, and I won't say their name, but a dead man is worshiping with us today for the first time that we prayed for in our prayer drive. Amen? Dudley Hiles, I said your name. They declared you dead, and here you are worshiping with us for the very first time. Praise God. Our God is a redeemer, resurrection power. That's a miracle right there. That man's a miracle. He's giving God praise. Hallelujah. And in case you guys wonder, so some of you think that COVID-19 is not a real thing, Dudley Hiles will be available after church today to talk to y'all about that, because it almost took his life. He's in a coma for almost a month, missed his own birthday, but he's alive today to worship with us. Hallelujah. I'm glad that you're here and your family. I know your mom needs healing. We curse cancer in the name of Jesus. We know there's many people in here today that need a touch from God, and that's all we need. We just need a touch. Thank you, worship team. Appreciate you. Sound team, we're live. Amazing. We didn't have internet. We prayed for internet. It came yesterday, but our cord was ripped out from the storm, and Pastor Sonny carefully put it in. It's barely hanging there, but it's working. We still got to get somebody out to fix it completely, but it's hanging there. So if you walk over to the other side of the building, I want you to tiptoe, okay? We need internet. It is hard to do our job anymore, which is crazy to say, but it is true. Well, welcome. My name is Pastor Harris, and I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. I just want to say thank you to everybody last week. You know, we didn't have church service, but we had church service. You don't have to be in here worshiping. I want to thank everybody who came out, even the ones that said, man, I can't physically do anything, but you sat in our giveaway. Last week, we were the hands and feet of Jesus to our neighborhood right here and anybody in the church that needed something. We had three tables full of just giveaway stuff. There's friends in Des Moines, West Des Moines, in the surrounding area, family members, churches, all kinds of people in Open Bible, not in Open Bible, that gave hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars worth of stuff because they wanted to come and help. We had a Fort Des Moines. It's an Open Bible church in Des Moines, in South Des Moines, and they came out with two cars full of people, and they worked not only on our stuff out here, but they went to somebody in our church that's a single lady that needed help, and they went and helped. They drove 2.5 hours to help us and back. It was an absolute blessing. Last week, we ministered on Saturday night to this street here, went and cut things up, gave food away, gave whatever they needed, all kinds of stuff. And then Sunday morning, we went over to this street. These neighbors, and I don't know if you know about this street, but it's a dead end. And every single power line but one was snapped in half and put into the only way they can get in and out of their house. They had no access to anything. We allowed people to come and bring them cars, and they walked through our driveway and my personal house and everything, walked out here, and were able to get in cars and go places that they needed to go, and people were able to come in, and their power was restored on Friday night, finally over there. But we were able to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and then we gave meals out every single day for a week for lunch with Mercy Chefs, who left this morning to go to the next catastrophe, I think is going to either hit Texas or Florida or maybe both. They went to drive down south to help. And what an amazing thing. So we had church in a whole nother ballgame. We did what we preach. And that's the most important thing. Amen? It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And we had people that couldn't necessarily physically do stuff, so they sat out there and they were able to give and bless people and pray for them, and it was wonderful. I want to start off with a couple updates, church. Maybe some of you have already heard on Facebook or seen on Facebook his announcement, but Pastor Cody did get the job he applied for at Journey Church in Des Moines. He will be working directly alongside his father-in-law as the family life pastor. Just want to let you know that. in case you didn't know. And Pastor Cody resigned at the beginning of July, and I've been in much prayer, very much prayer and thought, and what would be best for our growing church here at First Open Bible. And then after meeting with the board after a couple weeks and feeling like what I feel would be best for First Open Bible going forward, instead of just replacing the one position, we're going to have two. We're going to have a part-time youth pastor or youth leader and a full-time associate pastor. So that part-time youth pastor will be almost entirely just focused on the youth. Now remember, I was the youth pastor. And remember, I was the boss of the next youth pastor. So this was a blessing to know exactly what our church needs right now. We need someone who can solely dedicate themselves just to the youth and not be torn back and forth to all the extra duties that we have at the church. So that is what we're going to seek for a youth pastor or leader. They may be in this congregation. You do not have to be licensed. Remember, Pastor Cody was not a licensed, he was a licensed minister, but he didn't have a Bible college degree with theology or things like that. You have to have the heart, and then it can be taught. His degree was in sociology, right? So he shrinked me every day. It's no wonder he should have left maybe earlier. He should have known better. Hallelujah. I'm just joking. But I want you to think about that. It's a heart. So if you know somebody that really has a heart for the teens, and we're going to run it with a group, a leader, but the youth staff, and we're going to really pour into that and then pour into the teens, and they're going to be, I think it's going to be the greatest time ever for our youth ministry here at First Open Bible. Now, the full-time associate pastor is going to be called the connection pastor. He's going to work directly with the lead pastor, myself, and oversee all volunteer-led ministries in our church, along with administrative oversight of the buildings and the grounds. He will also help preach, teach, and other ministry duties as assigned. Because our church here at First Open Bible has grown 50% in 4 years. That's incredible. On average, 100 people every weekend. But we had no extra help. That's why I know this is a time. If you feel in your heart you want to give toward this, please do. If you want to pray for this, I'm asking everybody. See, we need to jump in together, and I'm praying that these ministry spots are going to further the kingdom of God here at First Open Bible. What I'm asking of you is to please, please pray for two major things: applications and wisdom and what to do with those applications. Amen? Will you do that for me this week? Everybody's supposed to turn in all of their applications for both positions by the end of business on Friday, September 4th. Amen? Does anybody have a heart for that? Raise your hand right now. You have a heart. Like, man, I'm going to pray real hard this week because I know that's important. Okay, Ross, thanks for volunteering. Appreciate that. I'm going to ask you to pray right now in front of everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of coming to you in prayer, Lord, for the prayer is the strength of the church, Lord, is the strength of your body, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that through these prayers, Lord, you would bring the exact answer that we need, Lord. It's not the answer we want, Lord, but it's the answer that you know is right, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we pray through that, Lord, that people will get serious about these prayers that come to the throne, Lord. It says, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them, Lord. Mm-hmm. With many people praying, Lord, you will hear these prayers, Lord, and bring them to fruition, Lord, and give this church what it needs at this time.
God.
For we're living in such a time as this when it takes, Lord, a dedication to you and your causes, to your word, Lord. For the deception is great, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that this deception will be warded away from this church,
yes,
Lord,
God,
and all the people within that body,
yes,
Lord,
God,
and all the people within the ministries here, Lord,
yes, Lord,
and that you will bring the exact people that have the strength and are called by you for such a time as this, Lord.
Yes, Lord,
for the associate pastor, Lord, and for the teens, Lord, the teens, they're the future, Lord,
yes,
and if
God,
you should tarry, Lord, they're the next generation that needs to come up, Lord, and carry your banner, Lord, because we repent for the fact that we failed in that, Lord, and the world has gone, taken this world in a wrong place. We need to bring it back, Lord.
Yes,
so we pray, Lord, that you put the people in place, Lord, that you have for such a time as this, Lord, and you give Pastor Harris and all the people on the board the wisdom to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it,
yes,
Lord,
God,
in your will, Lord, and take themselves out of it, Lord, but put yourself in them, Lord. Now we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God knows. God knows. Amen. He takes care of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. We have had a last couple weeks, have we not? Can I get an amen? Can I get a weary amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to ask you a few questions. First off, man, it was very difficult when the storm hit. I didn't even have phone service, nothing, for days. It's hard for a shepherd to not know how the sheep are doing. Glad you're here today. Glad you're safe. I'm glad nobody lost their life. But I want to ask you, most important question, how is your soul? How is your soul right now? Are you weary? Are you beat up? Are you down? Are you exhausted? Are you overwhelmed? Are you what the word says is heavy laden? How are you? How is your soul? I've labeled today's sermon, Weary Faith. As we continue our series of Tipping Point, we're on the tipping point in our world on so many subjects right now. Some are ready to tip over in a very horrific direction, while others are ready to tip over in a very favorable one. But we're also on a tipping point in our own lives right now as well. In some areas, we're ready to tip over in a horrific direction. But in some areas of our own lives, we're ready to tip over in a favorable direction. And I don't know about you, I've said this many times in my life. I will praise God anyway. I will praise Him no matter what happens. Now that is so much easier said than done. Church, in 2020, we have all endured so much. COVID-19, racial divide, a national hate and divide. Now we just got hit with an inland hurricane that hit our entire city and destroyed so much. Oh, Lord Jesus. That's not even to mention your own personal stuff and the things that you're dealing with in your own family. Oh, we have endured so much. Do you still have faith? Do you still have faith, even if it is weary faith? Will you still praise God anyway, even if you don't feel like it? Even if you feel like crying and falling apart instead of looking up and seeing where our help comes from? Does anybody in here today feel like they've just been surviving and not thriving? Can I get an amen? Anyone else in here need to be reminded and encouraged that everything, church, look at me, everything is going to be okay? Y'all need a reminder today? I do. God gave me these verses for us today. They're found in Psalm 30, verses 10 through 12. It is this: Hear me, Lord, and have mercy on me. Help me, O Lord. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. If you're anything like me today, church, I need to praise Him in the midst of my storms. I gotta be reminded. I need to praise Him because my soul is hurting and needs to be reminded of who is really in charge of all things. Our God is in control. I need to say this because I feel like somebody in here needs to hear this. God did not cause these things. They might be called an act of God while you get your money from the insurance. But the fact of the matter is, this is called sin. Hurricanes in Iowa were not intended before Adam and Eve took that bite. I beg to say the cold, cold winters as well. Hallelujah. Amen to that. I don't even need to preach anymore. That is good. That's good right there. Oh, Midwest. Hallelujah. God does not cause pain and suffering and destruction. God is a good God. And he allows us to have decisions in our life, and we chose sin. And when we chose sin, this is called birthing pains of our worlds. And birthing pains in our world, it is slowly starting to deteriorate. And if you read God's word, this is just another step closer to his coming again. Okay? Storms, disease, sickness, pain, sorrow, these are things that are caused not only by the devil, but also by our own sin. That's why we need a good God. That's why we need to praise him anyway. That is why it is well with my soul. Somebody need to hear that today. I need a victory. Even though I can't see it with my physical eyes right now, I will see a victory. Amen. Just because you didn't have this all planned out doesn't mean it won't all work out. Can I get an amen? Just because you didn't have this all planned out does not mean it's not going to all work out. Because our God has the final say. And remember, it's his will, not our will, to be done. Now don't forget, Christians, the goal of a Christian life is not pleasure. It's not possessions, it's not prestige, it's not politics, it's not power, and it is not popularity. It has nothing to do with this world or the values of this world. Our goal of a Christian life is to glorify God. And yes, even in the midst of our trials, give him praise. Romans 11:36 says this, "For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen." So how do we glorify God and show him that we love him? Hebrews 11:6 tells us, "Now, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." Faith. We must have faith. The Bible mentions the word faith 16 times in the Old Testament, but 254 times in the New Testament. Faith is not hoping God can do something. Faith is not also just believing he will do something. Faith is thanking God in advance. Church, with what you're facing right now, God has a word for you to be reminded of your faith. Mark 11:24. "Therefore I tell you, whatever," this is Jesus, "whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and it will be yours." So wait a minute. I have to thank God in advance before I can get it? Yes. Because if you thank God after you've already received it, that's called gratitude. But when you thank God in advance, that's called faith. Faith is thanking God in advance. "God, I thank you that my lawn one day will look the way it should." Hallelujah. Can I get an amen on that? One day. Oh, by the way, the church has a fundraiser going. We are selling firewood. So if you'd like to know, please tell your friends. Hallelujah. That's for all you out there. We have lots of firewood in Cedar Rapids, but buy it from First Open Bible. And we're going to do you one better. Please come and get your own firewood. Take whatever you want. It's actually free right now. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Faith shows the reality of what we hoped for," or what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. If we look around at our situations right now and they don't look so good in the natural, do they? I mean, 2020, seeing all kind of hashtags for 2020. Some of those should never be spoken behind a pulpit. People mad at 2020. Don't be mad at 2020. It didn't do it. It just happens to all happen at the same time. Unfortunately, we should have known it was coming. I got great news. There's still a lot more time in 2020 for more things to happen. But for real, are you prepared? Remember, we have an election coming up. Vote Jesus. Okay? You're not a Democrat. You're not a Republican. You're not an independent. You're a Christian. Vote Jesus. Right? Save the babies. Save the church. Okay? Vote Jesus. Vote Jesus. If you're mad about that, just read God's word. Read God's word. Vote. And I wish I didn't have to have a political party because I just vote Jesus. Whoever's the best. I don't care what your name is. I don't care where you're from. But if you have the same standards that the word of God says, I'm going to vote you. But here's the fact of the matter. No matter what happens in this election, something's going to happen. It don't matter which way it goes. Something's going to happen. Are you going to speak up, Christians? 2020. Oh, 2020. Situations and circumstances in our life right now in the natural, they don't look so good. But believers, we need to remember that our faith in God is not just physical. We stand together today to be encouraged and empowered in the supernatural and in the spiritual. And spiritual faith is the key that releases the resources of heaven into your situation. Spiritual faith will release what is in heaven into your situation. Ephesians 3:20. Now all glory to God who is able and through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think. Many verses say more than you can dream or imagine, more than you could ever conjure up in your mind. Faith does not have a formula because faith operates in the improbable, the irrational, and the impossible. Faith commands us to do what we cannot do on our own. And faith is not subject to what is in front of us. Faith sees beyond. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Church, look at me, church. You can do it. You can do it. We can do it together. You can do it. We can get through this. Remember, sometimes the best thing you can do in a battle is just to stay in the battle. Sometimes the best thing to do in a war is stay in the war. Just don't die. Remember, if you follow Jesus, right now is the closest you're ever going to get to hell. Right now, if you are a follower of Jesus, this is the worst. This is the closest to hell you will ever be because our destination is heaven. So don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Our King is coming, and he's coming soon. Worship team, will you please come back up? Now, you may ask me, Pastor, nobody did, but I wrote a question that you want to ask me that you didn't know about. Pastor, what's going on right now? Thank you for asking. How did you know? That's what I wanted to answer. Other than we're living in the last days, church, I don't know exactly what's happening. That's for real. But what I do know is this. Our Father loves us. In him we have our being. We are his offspring. We are made in his image. He knows everything about us. He knows when we get up and when we sit down. He's familiar with all of our ways. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knew us before we were conceived, and he knit us together in our mother's womb. He chose us before creation. We are not a mistake. He determined the exact time of your birth, where you would live, why you would live, how you would live, and what you would face. He knew for such a time as this. For we are fearfully and wonderfully made by him. It's his desire to cover you completely with his love because you're his child. He is our provider and he meets all of our needs. The plan he has for us is full of hope because he loves us with an everlasting love. Our Father rejoices over us with singing, and his banner over us is love. We are his treasured possession. He wants to show us great and marvelous things. If we seek him with all of our heart, what will happen, church? Gold star. Everybody else? Come on now. If you seek him with all of your heart, you will find him. If we delight in him, he will give us the desires of our hearts. He's also the Father that comforts us in times of need. He mends our broken hearts. One day he's going to wipe away every tear that ever fell from your eyes. He'll take away every pain that we have suffered here on earth. And he is our defender. He fights for us. He can do more for us than we could ever dream or imagine. He's our greatest strength. Our Father is the Almighty God. And nothing will ever separate us from the love of our Father. For our God can turn graves into gardens, and he turns our mourning into dancing.
I've searched the world, but it could have filled me